You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Welcome to another episode of Solana Moms Building Community Podcast. We're honored to welcome the deeply insightful and inspiring Courtney Yasenka to this week's episode. Courtney is a licensed clinical mental health counselor and a dedicated life coach for student athletes. With a master's in counseling psychology from Northern University and a certification in trauma-focused cognitive behavior therapy, she brings a compassionate and holistic approach to healing and personal growth. In this episode, we will talk about how Courtney blends Swedish values, ecotherapy, and Stoic principles into her work and into her life. Drawing from her cultural roots, she helps people embrace the Swedish concept of lagom, finding the joy in just enough and living with balance, simplicity, and mindfulness. You will hear Courtney talk about through positive mindset and proactive living, how nature and ecotherapy can regulate and restore. Her books, including Swedish Lagom, teaches you about finding joy in just enough. Her personal journey as a counselor, a writer, who finds balance in both healing and humor. Whether you're a mom, a teacher, or someone navigating mental wellness, this episode offers grounded wisdom, practical insights, and a beautiful reminder to slow down, breathe, and respond with intention. Tune in now and discover how to live in balance with the guidance of Courtney Yasenka. I would like to welcome my special guest today, Courtney Yasenka. Courtney, welcome and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We are very excited. Actually, as a mom and as we talk with our friends, there's always this feeling that we're not enough. And every day we're trying to find that balance of enough. And when I was looking over your Instagram page, your other pages and other resources that you have and your books that you will let us know, I was so excited to interview you so you could bring that, you know, the importance of finding balance in our daily lives. As moms, we struggle with that. And finally, having that from an expert, the steps and strategies on how to do that, I'm looking forward to that. I would like you to introduce yourself to our listeners and viewers. And then you have worked in counseling setting for over 20 years. What inspires you to become a mental health counselor and life coach, particularly for student athletes and families? Because how did you have experience?
Right. So again, thank you for having me. And I'm Courtney. I'm a licensed clinical mental health counselor. And I've always really been interested in knowing why people do what they do and their motivation behind behaviors and actions. And I've always loved children, so I knew I wanted to start my career as a children's therapist. And that naturally led to parent coaching. And in high school and college, I was a very competitive softball pitcher. And I believe in the positive impact sports and any kind of physical activity can have on individuals, especially during those adolescent years. And sports coaching really allowed me the opportunity to share with athletes specific mental health and counseling strategies. And my main focus in therapy is always positive psychology in your mindset. And I'm always telling my clients, you may not have control over your situation, but you always have control over your thoughts and actions.
Oh, I love that. You're very right. Because some things that happen to you daily life or, you know, in anything, you have no control, but you do have control over your mindset. I love that. And then also you have Swedish background, correct? How did that Swedish upbringing and philosophy of Lagom, finding joy in just enough, shape the way you approach mental health?
Well, I realized when I was talking with my clients, the healthy living skills and coping strategies I was encouraging them to use was really the Swedish way of living. And I was fortunate enough to grow up with that thanks to my Swedish mother. And when you embrace that Swedish concept of Lagom, which focuses on balance, just enough, and what I've called togetherness time, you are really better able to find joy in the day-to-day things, along with creating joy for yourself and those around you and your family. And that will lead to feeling more balanced, less stress, less anxiety, less depression, you know, overall better well-being. And that makes it much easier for you to enjoy life. And I always say it's the little things in life that make the biggest difference.
I fully agree there. So how was it in your home growing up, if you don't mind sharing, a day in your life with your mom when you were, let's say, I have a son that's 5, another one which is 9, so I can learn what your mom did. So I used that strategy when you were 5 or 9. How was it a day in your life?
So I was fortunate enough that my mom was back then what we would call, you know, a stay-at-home mom, and she did some freelance work. But when we were younger, and I have 2 siblings, you know, she made it a priority, she and my father, that someone would be home, you know, the majority of the time with the children. So of course, certain things in her life and career had to, you know, what we'd call kind of sacrifice then. But I think when she had that mindset of right now, my children are the priority. And again, they were fortunate enough to be able to do that, but, you know, making different decisions. So it was really the togetherness time that we spent. So we would spend a lot of time together, and often we would always have family meals together. You know, when we'd come home from school, we'd have a family snack and we'd be able to regroup and talk about our day, and we would really be there for each other. And we were lucky enough to be able to attend, you know, school events for siblings. And my mom and dad never missed a softball game. So it was really, you know, making things a certain priority when you can and focusing on those little day-to-day things, whether it's dropping your children off at school, writing a note in their lunchbox, you know, having TV time together at night. It's really creating those little moments that help connect you and bond you.
I love that, because that is such a good advice you're giving me. And my husband and I actually, we tried to follow that strategy, because I went to college. And then after that, you know, I said, you know, once we had the kids, and again, like you said, the word is we're fortunate enough to be able to do that. Stay home mom, I do here and there work, but I'm always dropping them off, going to their events. And I can see a difference, actually, that how we have this love bond and connected we are. And I understand that a lot of it is because of us taking that time, the little things that, you know, I will read a story to them, or my husband will read a story. We will play with clay. We'll make figurines. So it's so important. I like that advice you're giving, the little things that you do with your kids, that you remember it. And then for us to have that so our kids could learn that. Can you tell us more about your incorporation of ecotherapy and movement in your sessions? Why is connecting to nature so powerful and healing? And what do you, I mean, for me somewhere, what is ecotherapy?
So ecotherapy is really any nature-based intervention that gives us some kind of positive, you know, well-being. And there's different types of ecotherapy. Green exercise is, you know, exercising outside. There's forest bathing, where you kind of immerse yourself in nature. But simply put, it's really just spending time outdoors.
Oh, I see. So less screen time and going more outdoors.
Yes, being more connected with nature. And the more you do it, the more you want to do it.
That is true. We have started on doing hikes because here in California, the weather is pretty nice.
Right. So springtime is a great time to start kind of any ecotherapy. And what I found, when why I started incorporating it, was I used to walk or sometimes even run with clients. And any kind of movement, especially with children and teens, just increased the dialogue. It made it much easier and more comfortable for them because you're not just staring at each other through a screen or in an office. So now once a week, I go to a small private school, mainly for children with dyslexia, and we do one ecotherapy session a week. So we go for walks in their trails in the woods. We learn about the benefits of nature, and we do some collaborative tasks and activities outside. And what the research has found, and it's great, and the kids love it, and they're really learning that that connection with nature is so beneficial physically, mentally. It helps, you know, promote creativity and confidence and social skills. And it's really, there's not much nature can't fix.
Oh, I fully agree with you. I went through a rough time, our whole family. 2023, I lost my brother and my dad. And I must tell you, the human connections and nature was what got through that difficult time. Like you said, walking, being in nature, it just brings you back to your basics, because sometimes when you're in society, there's so much pressures for a mom to be this way, to do all the checklists, and there's not enough. And when you're in nature, you just feel like you're so little to the world. You are just enjoy the moment.
Exactly.
And you're a strong advocate for proactive mental health care. What does that look like for moms, families, and kids in today's fast-paced world? You said a little bit that, you know, nature is the best thing, but is there any other tips that you could give our viewers?
Yes. So being proactive means intentionally creating those systems and habits that support, you know, emotional well-being. It's daily healthy living habits that anyone can do and should do. And the main focus of the Swedish Legome, like we said before, is finding that balance, you know, in that fast-paced world. But it's intentionally taking that time out of a busy day to connect with others and yourself. So when you incorporate healthy living habits into your normal everyday life, it's easier to use them when you need them during times of stress.
So let me put a scenario. I have two boys and my husband. For a family like ours and many listeners that they have kids around us, do you talk to your kids about, let's put, this is what we expect, like we go outside these days, we do this? Like, how should you bring this strategy or tips into a family that is trying to bring this change? How should you bring it so it's not drastically, overwhelming for them?
Right. And I think it needs to be done organically and not, you know, we have to be outside today for this many minutes and we have to do this healthy habit and this is why. And I think, you know, the parents can know the philosophy behind it, but children and adults too really don't like being told what to do, and we're going to get more resistant. So I think if you can incorporate it into your everyday life, or if you just say, hey kids, you know, I'm going for a walk, do you want to join me? And again, if you have that connection already, the kids are they're going to want to be with you, probably too much all the time. But I think if it's a struggle, and if we're trying to create new habits, you know, you can have a family conversation about, this is what I think would be good, what are your thoughts, or what are some things you would want to do, you know, outside. If it's not hiking, maybe it's reading outside or drawing or, you know, biking, whatever it might be that interests them.
So include the children and each family member into this plan.
Absolutely. Yes.
I like that. You also use the cognitive behavioral therapy and positive psychology in your sessions. Can you give us an example of how that helps someone shift their mindset?
Sure. So the basis of CBT is that your thoughts, feelings, and behaviors are all connected. And when we want to change how we feel about a situation, the best way to do that is to change how we think. And oftentimes that automatic thought that we first have is usually negative in nature or has some kind of distorted thinking. So we use cognitive restructuring to think more positively. But remember, positive thinking doesn't mean that everything is great or that you're happy all the time or you love the situation. It's just a more optimistic view of the situation and you're trying to make the best out of it. So an example would be, you know, if you find out that tomorrow it's going to rain and that automatic thought is, oh, I hate when it rains. It's going to ruin my whole day. You know, I'm not going to be able to do what I wanted to do. And that, of course, is going to affect how you feel and behave. But then if you think, okay, I don't want to feel that way. And I have no control over the weather, but I can control how I think about it. So again, I'm not going to think, oh, I love the rain. I'm so excited for it. But it might be, okay, this is a good day to do something inside. Or this gives me a chance to go puddle jumping with the kids. So again, it's kind of making the best out of that situation and controlling what you can.
Yes, I love that. I think what I'm getting is that what you have control over something is from the beginning, which you said that is your mindset. The other factors like rain, weather, or circumstances is something you don't have control. So you might as well enjoy or think positive than making it a negative circumstance.
Right.
That's really a good way, a great step. I have actually started doing that. I think it was since January. But you know, there's always you fall for it again. So just talking to you now, I'm thinking positive again.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just need a refresher.
Yes. You need a refresher and someone expert telling you that, you know what, that was the right way. Because sometimes you question things. You're like, is this the right thing I'm doing, even with your kids? But when an expert tells you, this is the right path, then it reassures you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have wrote a couple of books. The book that I want to talk about is The Swedish Lagoon, Finding Joy in Just Enough, offers such a unique perspective. For moms listening, what are a few takeaways from that book they could apply right away at home? And then you can also talk to us about your other books and how that brings emotional resilience for parents and teens.
Okay.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So the really wonderful aspect of Lagom is that it can be incorporated into anyone's lifestyle or family dynamic. And I think the most important aspect is the togetherness time and finding joy in that. So a few takeaways I would say would be rise early. So get up early in the morning. It helps kind of set the whole tone for your day. And it gives you a little more time as a mom. Spending time in nature, like we talked about before, and creating family traditions. Whether big holiday gatherings or just those weekly cozy Friday nights. And it's the everyday moments that have that lasting effect. And I know the common saying is quality over quantity, but I think the quantity of time you spend with your child matters immensely too.
So I have heard this from others that quality matters, but you are saying that quantity matters too. It's not just you give them this quality that you go to the top vacations, you know, get all these things that has quality, but quantity matters too, correct?
Correct. Like I said, I think it's those day-to-day interactions that matter the most, and just being present there for your children is very important.
And do you suggest, or in your experience, what ages do you need to be present, like from the age they are born to a teenager, or is it certain age that is very important for you to be present?
I would say it's all of them. But of course, as infants, you want to create that secure attachment, you know, and that's huge for any kind of child development. But I also think as your child gets older, you're present in different ways. And I know a lot of times parents will say, oh, they're teens and they don't want to be around me and they're going through a phase. But that's not necessarily true. Teens still want to be around you. And if you have that connection, you're still going to have that strong bond. And even later on in life, and this is somewhat of a Swedish thing too, adult children still hang out and vacation and do, you know, weekly meals with their parents. It doesn't end just because your age changes.
I actually fully agree. So my background is my parents are Afghan. And So in our culture too, we never stop hanging out with our parents. It's kind of weird because my husband is American from here. Mm-hmm. For me, it was like, for him, probably he saw it from teenagers since we have been together to now, my parents and us, we're always together. It has never changed. And I hope I can bring that the way you did with your kids and my parents did with my kids, because I don't want them ever feel like, you know, you have to be out of the house, or of course you want productive kids, but I want them to know that we're always here. You're our kids.
Right. Exactly. And I think it is, I talked about this in the Swedish book, that I think other people think we're such a strange family because we're so close.
No, same here, but I can relate to you.
Yeah, I think it's an American thing that they think their children have to be away from them to be independent, and that's not true.
I fully agree. I think it's also, I have, like I said, I have a lot of American friends, and they have been born here. I think there's some things that are said that based on media, what they see or movies, I was fooled by that. That's how you should be. You're 18, you should go. But luckily I had parents that were like, what are you talking? Like, you're going to go get your degrees, but this is your home. This is always yours. And I think sometimes people are misled by what's on media and movies. And hopefully, like the way you're teaching as an expert to this new generation, and we're bringing your resource to more people, that's not really a healthy way. I feel like a healthy way is having your parents, but being also a productive adult.
Right. I agree.
Mm-hmm. And would you talk to us about your other books, please? And then how it builds emotional resilience, especially for parents and teens.
Sure. So the other books are the Stoicism Book of Quotes and the Marcus Aurelius Book of Quotes. And that really talks about the Stoicism teachings and philosophy. And I think the best thing we can learn from the Stoics is the ability to manage our emotions, to not impulsively react, but to thoughtfully respond, to view challenges as opportunities. And this mindset increases resilience and helps teens bounce back after a setback. Again, it's that embracing that mindset that's positive, purposeful, and meaningful. And when you realize you have control over your thoughts and feelings and actions, you know, you'll be better able to create that life you want for yourself and your children. And being resilient, you know, is really about making the most out of that situation. And, you know, we all know that setbacks and failures and mistakes are inevitable, but how you and your child recover from that is really what makes the difference.
I fully agree. And what would be a tip, like for a teenager that's going through teenage years with the pressure and factors outside his mindset, what would be a tip to get him or her be resilient and have a strong mindset where they could overcome these challenges? What would you tell them? Like when my son is a teenager, he's going through all this and I'm trying to get him resilient. How can I approach the subject? How can I tell him to be resilient?
I think some of it can be through modeling, and even before their teens, because sometimes the teen years are more difficult socially. But if you, again, have that connection with your child, they're going to come to you. You're going to be that, you know, anchor and compass for them and help them navigate the social situations. And when you are oriented with your child in that way, the stressors and the peer issues won't matter as much to them because, you know, they have their own confidence and they have the support from you. But again, I think it's talking through those situations and getting your child to realize, you know, what do you have control over? What are your priorities? You know, what situations or relationships are going to make you happy? You know, and what can you do about these certain social situations?
I see. I mean, that's a really great point, is having a good foundation before teenager, when they're a teenager, or I believe, I think I read this in your website, and I think it was one of your Instagram posts too. It was basically what you meant was take action before crisis happens in mental health. And I'm a big believer of that because a lot of times when people are, when you encounter mental health, it's the time that's already crisis has happened. And you're very right that you have to, before the crisis happens, to take action.
Right. And sometimes, like you said, it takes work. I mean, creating these, you know, relationships and putting in the effort. But when you do it, it's going to be easier during times of crisis.
Very much agreed. I will work on that more. Now, like I said, it's every day I like getting individuals such as yourself reminding us that these years are the most important foundational to an adulthood and to pay attention to each step. So your investment, which is our children, are going to be healthy, or the best part is they will communicate with us when it's crisis time. What is one of the biggest misconceptions parents have when it comes to their child's mental health or emotional behavior, which you talked a little bit about?
So I think parents often focus too much on the child's behaviors, and they tend to want to try and change or control the behaviors. And what you should really be focusing more on is, again, that relationship with your child. If the connection with your child seems stressed, it's not really a behavioral issue, it's a relationship issue. So you really want to seek to understand the behavior, not just address it or, even worse, punish it. So, you know, try not to minimize situations, you know, by parents saying, oh, it's just a phase. There is a reason why your child might be acting a certain way, but the goal should be to figure that out, not respond or punish that.
Got it. So you shouldn't respond in a negative way. You should respond in positive by seeing where the root of the problem is.
Right. So even think about like a toddler, you know, if they're throwing a quote unquote temper tantrum, you know, you could even say to them, you know, it seems like you're going through a hard time. You're having a hard time. They're not giving you a hard time. You know, nobody wants to be upset. Even your teen doesn't want to be yelling at you, you know, and arguing with you. They're clearly having difficulty either expressing their feelings, emotions, or dealing with their stress. So if they see you as that safe person to process that with, rather than, oh, if I'm acting this way, I'm going to get in trouble. You know, that's not going to fix the behaviors or the relationship.
True. Okay, I'll give you a scenario. So which you're saying that, but I want to see your input. I'm sure a lot of things that I go through, many other parents go, so they can hear this from an expert, how you would deal. So our son, the 9-year-old, he misbehaved. And then my husband and I told him they usually do camping at night outside. So we said, no camping. And then after that, he was very upset. So my husband and I talked to him that we understand where you're coming because we took something away and now that has upset you. And then so he was more upset. 3-4 days later, he tells me in the car, Mommy, I don't like when you take something away. Then you explain it to me that, sorry, we did this and this is why it has happened. And I was just shocked because I was thinking I'm using the right strategy to explain to him, but he was telling me it's hurting him more when we explain why it was taken away. So what input do you have in that?
I think your son is very insightful and a great communicator. I think for him, because if he does a behavior, he's not thinking he necessarily is doing something wrong or wants to, you know, misbehave. So when something is taken away, that's not really directly correlated to the camping, you know, it's probably very confusing for him. And then when you explain why, it probably makes him feel worse about it because he's like, oh, I probably didn't really mean to do that.
I see. Actually, that does make sense because it was totally not camping related. So then as a parent, would you suggest when they do something like that, we should not take away something that's not related to that, like for future for us?
Yes. So I don't believe in any punishment. Discipline is different because it teaches, and especially if it's a safety concern. But you really can't impose your will on your child. They need their own autonomy, you know, make their decisions. Again, if you have that connection, they're going to come to you though to help with those decisions. It's not being like a passive parent. But taking away things on the flip side, rewarding too, really just like addresses that behavior. It has nothing to do with the relationship or the why behind it. And that's usually why rewards and punishments, if they work at all, only work for a very small amount of time. And your child's only doing something then because of the reward or punishment. And really it should be, you know, they want to do something because, you know, they respect you and it's a mutual respect, or they appreciate what you're doing. You know, again, it's more about that relationship than the behavior.
I see. Okay. Wow. That's a lot to take in.
And parenting is hard and nobody's perfect. And sometimes things happen and that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought that just taking something away to show them, we do it in a very, like I said, we explain to them, but knowing that taking away something is still not the right way, it's like, oh my God, there's points that where they take you to the next stage. What strategy am I going to use not to, you know, to show them that you're doing wrong? But from what you're saying is trying to build that relationship, why they're doing it, correct?
Correct. And think of it almost with a spouse. If your spouse is doing something that you don't like, do you tell him or her, you know, you have to go to your room tonight or you can't watch TV? No, you try to figure out, you know, why are you upset with me or why aren't we connecting well? For some reason, we think it's okay to treat children differently, you know, or with punitive measures that we would never do to a spouse or a coworker or a boss.
Yeah, I mean, such a good point you said. In my head, I'm thinking, do I ever tell my husband I'm going to take your car away or something?
Right.
I mean, he would be like, what is wrong with you, woman? But I mean, this is why I love when I interview people such as yourself. It just opens my mind to, and our listeners, because I mean, all us moms, I know, go through the same thing. So you telling us this and how to talk to our kids and how to have that relationship and strategies and tips. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And then the other question I have is, how do you approach teen counseling differently, especially for those struggling with identity, stress, or social pressure? We kind of touched on it, but in detail, some of our listeners, if they have teenagers.
So teen counseling really focuses on building trust and, again, respecting their need for autonomy and supporting their identity exploration in a non-judgmental way. And it's very skill-based, so it's a lot of teaching coping skills, you know, for the stress and social pressures. And, you know, I will involve family and parents when appropriate to help with that communication between them. But I really find that a lot of my teen clients, you know, they just want someone to listen to them and validate how they're feeling. You know, they want to know that their views and their feelings and their thoughts are important, and that people kind of hear their point of view.
That makes sense. And with, well, how about with the peer pressure? Like, I know a lot of kids go through peer pressure. We actually had an incident in one of the schools where one clique wanted this person to stay with them, not talk to the others. And it was, you know, hard for that person because it was promoted to talk to everyone, which we should. That I believe in, nobody should have cliques. How would you proceed with that, telling your teenager that's okay to be friends with everyone, not just your clique? And if the person is telling you to be with one clique is not your friend, how do you approach that?
Yeah, and any kind of social pressure is tough because they're hearing things from their peers, they're hearing things from their parents. But again, it goes back to, if you are that compass for your child, you know, they will, and not 100% all the time, but they're going to value what you say more than their peers. And they will know that you know them better than their friends, even if, you know, they have really good friends. And you'll be able to talk through it and say, you know, is this the type of friend group that you want to be in? You know, and don't you think it's okay to have different friends from different groups? And again, it's that connection, so you can be that sounding board with them and they don't feel like they have to go through it alone or only listen to what their friends are saying.
Good point. I like that. We talked about mental health, that it's mental health starts before a crisis. What are three proactive habits families can build now to promote long-term wellness? If there was three things you would tell me for long term for my family, what should I do?
Number one, spend time together and do it often. Eat meals together. This is a great time for conversations. If it doesn't have to be dinner either, if it doesn't work for people's schedules, but it's a good time for everybody to, you know, regroup throughout the day, and then support each other. And like you said too, it's, you know, families do things together. It's not like, oh, my, you know, brother's not coming to my game today, or I don't have to go to my sister's concert. It's, we all do things together because we're a family.
I like that. What do you say to someone who feels like they have tried everything and still feel overwhelmed and stuck with their mindset, I would say?
I think it's similar to physical health. So mental health also takes practice, and you have to put in that effort to see the results. So if my client's having a difficult time with positive thinking, I encourage them to set a designated time each day to practice those specific cognitive restructuring techniques. And again, things don't just happen overnight. So you have to put in this work. But when you do it, you know, you actually can rewire your brain. And I think when people feel a lack of hope or motivation, I try to connect them to finding their purpose in life and focusing on what gives them meaning. And, you know, these can be huge life-changing things, but they can also be the small everyday occurrences. And that sometimes it's okay to feel stuck. And you have to acknowledge that feeling. And then again, ask yourself those stoic questions, you know, what do I have control over? And how am I choosing to respond?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like you said, even from the beginning, when you feel when I feel personally stuck in a circumstance in my life that I don't know the answers, I usually go for hikes and walks, like you said, going to nature. It brings me back to the, you know, calmness where I can respond in a calmly manner than just making a rash decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nature definitely grounds us. And just being near a tree actually helps relax us. Amazing.
Definitely. I agree with you. What does just enough look like in a world that consistently tells us to do more, give more, be more, especially for us women? We want to be the best mom, the best wife, the best, worker, all this stuff. When is it for us to feel like it's, you know, just enough and we should find joy in that?
Well, I think you're right. Modern life feels like it's moving faster and faster each day. And Lagom really encourages us to step back and appreciate what you already have. You know, when you try to find that balance and that presence and that sustainability over those short-term gains. And it offers that calming reminder that a more mindful, more purposeful life can lead to greater satisfaction and well-being, you know, and that you can find joy in just enough. And I think when we change that mindset, you appreciate things more or the life that you have, and you don't feel like you have to keep going and going and going.
Correct. And for the listeners listening, I know it would feel probably overwhelming to change your mindset. But like you said earlier, it's not a day thing. It's going to take time to change your mindset. But if you think of that positive, like you said, it will take you to a point where these habits will become regular. Correct.
Correct. And it's starting small, and it's even like identifying those little negative automatic thoughts and saying to yourself, okay, how can I change this into a more positive thought? And I always tell clients, you're not going to believe it at first, but you have to keep telling it to yourself because that's how we rewire our brain. And that's how the thoughts become our automatic thoughts, the more positive ones.
Very, very good point. And then it's almost getting to the 40 minute. Before we end this session, I would like you to ask you the last question. Where can our listeners find your books, resources, or connect with your coaching services? Can you do coaching online or on the phone for people that live in California? How can they get your services?
Yes. So coaching can be done anywhere and through telehealth. So you can visit YasankaCounseling.com or CourtneyYasanka.com for my books. You can follow me on social media. And you can find my books really wherever books are sold, major retailers, your favorite local shop, and of course on Amazon.
Well, Courtney, this was an enlightening and really awakening for me, the things that I'm doing that sometimes you think you're doing right as a parent, and to see a different way where, you know, is more healthy for the future of raising our children and even for myself. When your children are happier and acting the way you want them, then you're happier. And it just becomes this domino effect of healthy. So I thank you for giving all these tips and strategies and being on our podcast. And we cannot wait to collaborate more, having our youth podcasters also interview you where you could help them maybe with strategies and tips where it could help them.
I think that sounds wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.